Yo, what is up, people? How we doing? It's been an interesting last couple weeks. You know, I feel like I hit some lows and hit some highs when it comes to photography. I was feeling a bit down, didn't know what to do, was kind of losing inspiration. And then I just forced myself to get out there and just go for a walk. I picked a nice day, and that lit my fire. That got me hopped up on photography again. So if there's anything I can tell you all listening is, if you're ever doubting yourself, if you're ever doubting your photos, if you're ever just doubting photography as a whole, you know, just grab a camera, put some film in it, and just, you know, find a nice place and just go. And go take some photos. You don't need a plan. You don't need a mission. You just got to go do it. And I promise you that it'll probably make you feel at least a little bit better. And of course, if you end up liking your photos, then that's kind of the holy grail. It's going to make you really, really like the whole experience. But the point is, just go out there and do stuff. Like, you can't just be, you know, trapped inside thinking about whether or not photography is good or bad, or, you know, assessing your own skill set. It doesn't really matter. Just get out there and do it because you like it and because it makes you feel good. All right. I'll stop preaching. But very excited to get back to you today with this new podcast episode. I took a little break because I needed a little breather, but now we're back. We got some really good guests. I've got like 6 episodes on deck that are already recorded, and I'm very excited for you all to listen to them. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into today's episode. Welcome back, everybody. Very excited again, as usual. This time for this podcast episode, we are in LA. So I'm hopping around a lot, but you know, none of this is in physical presence. So to my guests, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey guys, I'm Nadja Aman. I'm a film photographer in LA. I've been shooting professionally for about a year now, but shooting basically throughout my whole life. My grandpa gave me my first film camera when I was a little girl.
Nice.
We were just going through his little basement and we found a couple cameras and he let me keep them. He was like, here you go. So I've been playing around with cameras for a while, but I've been taking my professional career seriously for the past year.
That's dope. That whole kind of grandpa story of getting things passed down. I feel like that's almost a joke on the internet right now. Like, I think I saw a meme. It was like, grandpa finally passed, you know, look at what I got.
Oh, and then you get all the stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of morbid, but you know, well,
no,
I want to ask you though.
Well, he's well and alive, so.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
What did you get from him? What stash did he provide you with?
I got a Polaroid and then I had a point and shoot. I forgot the brand of it. I don't have it anymore, but yeah, just those two little guys got me started.
I mean, that's the fun way. I feel like that's the most like interesting way to get into this whole film thing.
Right. Just testing it out. And I mean, back in the day, that was all we had to use. So it's kind of interesting now that it's like more of a, I don't want to say hobby, but something new, but old.
Wait, how old were you when you received that as a gift?
It was probably like 6 or 7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, so we were cleaning out the garage that summer. So there was a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Well, in terms of gear, so obviously, I'm sure maybe you still have those. What are you actually working with nowadays? Like, what's your main kit?
Main kit. I mean, it's super simple. For film, I just work with the EOS 650,
nice.
Which is a 35mm. It's like almost digital as far as the feel. But I also have the Canon AE-1, like everybody else. And that one was really nice. That was my first film camera. And then I bought the EOS. The ones that I bought personally. And then I went on to testing out the Pentax 6.7, which is my absolute favorite. So right now I'm saving up to purchase my own with the fancy lens. I need that 105. Yeah.
I just bought a 6.7. I got one of the older ones, a 6x7,
okay.
Which to me doesn't make a difference. I saved a lot of money.
Good.
But yeah, I have the 105, which is, I'm assuming, the one you're talking about. And then I also bought myself a 75, a nice, because I like shooting wide, especially for portraits.
That's interesting. Yeah, so I started with the 75 on the first Pentax I used.
And have you used it multiple times, or you kind of got one taste?
Oh, no. I had it for a few months, actually.
Ah, okay, perfect. Yeah. So you know your way around. I don't.
I got used to it. Oh, gotcha.
I've shot one test roll with it, and I actually made a video about it on YouTube, but I just jumped in. Where in terms of like, I didn't look up any stuff on the internet, didn't read any manuals, and I just completely screwed it up. I had no, like,
oh no,
I couldn't get the film to wind, and then it was this whole thing. Eventually, I figured it out, but
okay.
The point is, I don't know what I'm doing, and you do, so I might have to ask you some questions.
Let me know, yeah, for sure. It's my favorite camera. Nice. I can't wait to get it back.
Well, you mentioned the AE-1 and then the Canon EOS 650.
Yeah,
which one of those do you use the most?
Well, my little Canon is a little messed up. The winder's fallen off, so I still need to get that guy repaired. So I've been working with the 650 most of the time, and that's what you see most of my work on my Instagram right now. Yeah, I use that one.
So I have a 650. It was my first film camera that I ever bought. And I did that because I was shooting, I've shot digital for a long time, probably like everybody else. And I had a lot of Canon glass. So I was like, oh, I can just put this on a film camera. Like, whatever, I'll buy a camera. It was $20.
Right.
And that from that day on, I was like, holy shit, this is great. That camera's awesome.
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
They're so cool and so simple, but they work perfectly fine.
They're great for people who do a lot of work, because I feel like a lot of people like film because, you know, it's analog and like all these buttons and whatever. But if you're shooting a lot of work, sometimes I feel like the automation helps remove a lot of like just random variables. So
yeah, for sure. You can focus more on the subject and kind of just hone in on the actual picture rather than thinking about, you know, Sony 16 and how focused should this be? It's like, no, I know I want it this way. Everything else will fall in place, which is really awesome.
I'm glad you say it, because you're the pro. And if I were to say that, it'd be like, oh, you're a loser. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I get you. I get you.
On your Instagram, you call yourself a film junkie.
Yeah.
Just what does that mean? Explain that to me.
I don't know. It was like all of a sudden in one moment, I got really interested in film. And after the pandemic hit, I got into developing my own film. And so my love for it grew even more. And so it was just like, I would say up until now, I've been just like immersed in film every day in some way. So it's definitely a part of my life now. I just feel like I'm a film junkie. I love, you know, researching other photographers and, you know, old photographers and kind of just trying to learn everything I can about it, basically.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel the same way. Once I started developing, that's when it really got kind of crazy, because you kind of appreciate all your stuff that much more, you know.
Exactly.
It's cheaper, obviously, because you're not sent into the lab, but
man,
you know what it is? I mean, this is just how I am. I kind of just tinker and I'm always messing around. But with developing, you know, you can mess things up if you don't follow a couple key rules.
Right.
And I did that a lot. So I feel like through those trials, I kind of got to like it even more. It was almost like it's like an unrequited love. You know, you're like, man, I want this thing to really love me back. And sometimes it doesn't. And it makes you 100%. Love it more, I guess.
No, I understand that all the way. I started black and white as well, developing. And I messed up. Or I don't know what I did, but it came out textured in a funky way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, probably the best photos I've ever taken. And then they were just crumpled. And I was like, you know, it's disappointing, but you learn you learn to love them and you kind of just keep going from there.
Yeah. The ones that you can't see, those are always the best photos you've ever taken, you know?
Right. Yeah. Usually.
It's kind of the joke nowadays.
Yeah.
So you were talking about like, you like learning and kind of digging around a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Do you find it like more difficult or kind of more liberating to not really have a direction per se? And what I mean by there is like, you know, we started in this now. So the past obviously existed before us and there's more to come in the future. Theoretically, you can kind of go in whatever direction you want. Like how does that make you feel?
I think it's amazing. I have a lot of ideas that go from like futuristic and funky new, like alienish designs. And then I have things that are very like 60s based and, you know, family homes and kind of just the olden days vibe. So it really just depends on where my brain feels like going at the time, I guess. But right now my range is always, you know, 90s to the 70s.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of evident looking through your portraiture. It definitely has that nice, I get like a really cool 90s vibe.
It might be
like where you're based. It might be who you're photographing, but there's a consistent feel there, which I really appreciate. It's a very like inviting and calm kind of mood.
I love it.
Yeah. I'm talking about portraits basically. I feel like that's mostly, at least that's what attracted me to your work initially. So talk to me about your portraits. Like what is kind of your flow there? How do you go about creating your portraits?
Gotcha. What's funny is I started shooting and I was talking with my friends and they were like, so what kind of photographer are you going to be? And I'm like, honestly, I just love to shoot everything. But they were like, you're really good at portraits. I said, no way I'd be a portrait photographer. Like, I thought I'd be shooting, you know, National Geo and travel the world and shooting, you know, native people and doing that kind of thing. But here I am taking more fashion forward portraits or just, you know, more personable photos, which, which is really nice. I love doing it. And now I've decided to accept my fate. I am a portrait photographer. So I love doing that. It's a lot of fun. And I love capturing people in a way that they like to be seen, but it's also true to what everybody else would see in the world.
Yeah. How do you find your subjects? Like what kind of subjects are they?
Anybody really, you know, LA is a big space. So tons of models, tons of, you know, creative people who want their picture taken, other photographers I love to shoot. You just mix and match and figure it out. Yeah. A lot of people have ideas or you have ideas for other faces and you just reach out. I mean, that's all you can do.
It definitely sounds like LA is one of the places that's most conducive to that kind of like, you know, DM, like, hey, you want to like do a shoot?
Yeah, especially now. You can't really just like meet somebody at the coffee house anymore. You got to search a little bit more, which is interesting. And it's fun. I don't mind it. Yeah,
no, of course. I was talking to Mike Gray. Do you know Mike Gray? He's a photographer.
Sounds familiar.
He's a photographer in LA. He's on YouTube as well. Great dude. Okay. Like making really, really nice work. Check him out. But he mentioned how like in LA, there's just so many different creatives. People like, whether it's like people behind the camera, people in front of the camera, people kind of in between. And everyone's almost thirsty for collaboration and to like you know, create stuff. So
doesn't even matter about the money. It's just for fun and it's exciting for a lot of us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of cities that are like that. I mean, typically it's the big cities, but I think LA has something special on top of that. And I guess honestly, the weather probably helps too. You know, everyone's kind of always trying to be doing something because why be inside? I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You're not dealing with any of those. I mean, I'm from New York City and last night, actually, the last two nights, it's been snowing like crazy in New York.
I heard. Wow.
Wild blizzard. But you know what, though? Like, that inspires photography in a whole different way because...
Yeah, I do need to get out to New York.
Snow on film is amazing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a few photos.
I did a little bit in London when it snowed 2 weeks ago. But when I say snow, like, you know, it was not like legit snow. But,
just like a little...
Yeah, it was enough to make a nice photo. Fog. But
okay.
In New York, like, there's people outside, like, playing, you see snowball fights, like it blizzards, like you get insane amounts. So that could be inspiring too, you know?
It's definitely. Goes a lot of way different ways. It's beautiful. We don't see that too often unless you go up to the hills.
Yeah, true. So besides portraiture, what else are you doing with film photography? Is there any other kind or just kind of something else that's not human that draws you?
Not human. I love it. Yes, I have a second page that's linked to my main page. Anybody's interested. It's basically just anything that I see on my day to day. I don't leave the house without my camera by my side. So when I see something that attracts my eye, I snap it. So that one's really just like, you know, strangers that I see that allow me to take their portraits or some architecture, photography, plants, pets, anything that's not more, fashion focused, like my main page and less portraiture, just more about the fun of photo walks and seeing what I see, basically.
And for that one, you use the same exact cameras you would use for your portraits? Or like, do you kind of distinguish?
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know why, but I'm okay with being simple on the gear.
Yeah.
I've never been crazy to care about all the funky cameras. They're amazing. Don't get me wrong. Like, I've definitely tested them out and they're like, okay, cool. I see why, but until I'm not satisfied with what I'm doing, I'm not really going to worry about.
Yeah.
Boosting up the gear. Yeah.
No, it makes sense. There's definitely a part of the film photography culture that is about gear. And, you know, it's all good.
Yes. Like, oh, my God.
No hating on that. But yeah, some people just buy gear because they like the, you know, the technical aspect of looking at the gear. And that's fine. You know?
It's amazing. And I understand. I have a few that I just want to collect. But yeah, in time. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I go back and forth. No rush. I've recently, like, I know I just told you I bought a camera, which is obviously...
Yeah.
Buying more stuff, but I have been downsizing as well. And at least I'm cognizant of the fact that, like, you know, I want to downsize. In my mind, having too many cameras is not a good thing. So I don't know. We'll
I wouldn't
see
know
how
what to
goes.
Do with them. I think they're beautiful to look at. So they'd definitely be on a shelf, but yeah, I get so attached to, you know, one view And I can work that as many times as I can. And then once I'm tired, it's like, okay, let's try something else. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what it is for me. I just like messing around with all kinds of different things. So
yeah,
having multiple cameras, at least I know I'll use them. It's just a matter of like,
yeah,
will the amount be too much one day where I can't even.
No, I get that. More. I have, what is it? The big 4x5.
Oh, you
do? I haven't touched that yet. Yeah. It's a beautiful camera. I got it from,
which one?
I don't say a collector. It's the Graflex.
Okay.
Yeah, it's burgundy and gold. Really wow. Pretty. I'll have to show you a picture later.
That's amazing. I have one of those. I've got a Crown Graphic.
Nice.
And you're totally right. It just, you looking at it is just incredible. It's right. Just like one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see. So I feel you.
For sure. Have you used yours yet?
I have. When I say used, I won't say I've used it for anything that's like of value, but
okay.
I've taken it out for a spin a couple times to at least mm-hmm. test it and like, you know, whatever, but it's just a different process. And I think that's the part where you, with that camera, it's hard to just kind of randomly use it because it really is like a whole different way of thinking. So I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited to get in that mode, but I think, you know what it is? I think I need to go somewhere and only bring that camera for like a week.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe landscape photography first, just to get it going, and then afterwards take some portraits, because you know I don't want people waiting forever.
The portraits with that, like if you don't have your process down, oh my god, you're
right. I feel so slow. Bad.
But it's when you talk about portraits though, like that is unique. You're not going to get anything that looks like that,
right?
So it's definitely worth trying it with the portraits.
Definitely. I'll try some self portraits first.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Self-portraits are in right now, you know, with coronavirus being a thing.
You're stuck in this house.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I want to ask you, in my eyes, at least, you represent a little bit of the younger generation. And I hope that's not like a bad thing to say. But
no.
what I'd love to know from you, and honestly saying that, that's how I realized that I've aged. I'm 32 years old, which isn't like
ridiculous. Oh, my gosh. It's not old.
But when I'm talking to somebody else and saying, you represent the younger generation, I'm like, wow, I sound like a grandpa saying that. You know? but okay, my question is, why are younger people nowadays attracted to film photography? I'm assuming you've dealt with, you know, you have friends that are your age and you've met other people. What is it? What is it about film photography?
I think it started with the filter craze when Instagram and all these crazy apps started coming out where you can just apply these filters. They often had a film-esque kind of thing going mm-hmm. on, and it really drew people in. And then I think the small, small, small crowd of film photographers who are actually producing work like that naturally eventually got exposed. And then it was like, you know, once one person picks up a film camera, everybody's like, oh, how'd you do that? And you know, it becomes like a vibe to be able to say, yeah, I shot this on film, didn't edit it, you know, it's raw, whatever. So I get it. It is a lot of fun and it's a great hobby. And I'm sure I honestly feel like film prices have gone up so quickly in the past year, honestly, from when I was like really getting into it, because I decided to go professionally just with film. So yeah, it's like prices had to go up too with that film. But it's just interesting that so many young people are really, really loving it. But I think it's a great hobby. And I know they teach it in school at most places, right? Yeah.
I assume so, yeah. I haven't been in school in a minute, so I don't know.
I'm like, I had it in college. I took one class, but
you know what?
Didn't work out.
I didn't take any photography classes ever in my life, like actual courses, you know, sitting in front of somebody. And I regret it because I'm like, wow, who knows? Like, well, I feel like given how, so I didn't even do photography when I was in school, right after school, any of that. I think when I was like 24 or something, I decided, oh, I want to take some photos. So I bought a camera and then things just, you know, progressed fast from there. The point is I got into photography pretty late, let alone film photography, which came after that. And I'm just curious, like, what my life would have been like if I had started photography way sooner. Like, who knows what I'd be doing right now? I could be a whole different life, you know?
You never know. I mean, but it's those little things. But you got to be grateful for where you are now. Imagine that one change, it could have went a whole different way.
Yeah,
you never know.
No, I feel you.
But school's always good. I mean, you can never learn too much.
Yeah. I'm curious. So I get that, you know, it kind of was a fad, you know, you see Frank Ocean with a contact.
Yeah, oh my God.
I get that. So
killed that camera.
I know. I can totally see how younger people like, you know, it's the hook. After that, yes. If they get into it for real, like I'm happy. That's great. But what I'm right. curious about this other kind of piece. You know, I was old enough, or I'm old enough to like have seen like life before phones were like a thing, and like, you know, live enough in that time. I'm curious if younger people now have like kind of gone through that and then almost backlashed against it. Cause you know, everything now is so fast. You can take as many photos as you want. You can post them anywhere, like very, very fast. Do you think some people care about the fact that film is not that, you know, it's kind of a nice break or an alternative?
Definitely. I think a lot of people are falling in love with the process of film and how slow and intimate it is. I mean, you're literally creating the photos from beginning to end, you know, if you develop yourself and scan yourself. And I'd say it's been almost like a therapy for me to just come home and do that whole process. So I can imagine a lot of other people feel the same way.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. But younger kids, I mean, like I said, I mean, Corona really has just kept us in the house. And I feel like photography and developing your own film and just falling in love with that whole thing is just perfect for right now. So I feel like it's really been blown up since this whole pandemic. Yeah.
Interesting. Have you? Yeah, I talk about this all the time. If you're going to be like, oh, he brings it up again. But I do a lot. I do a lot of darkroom printing. And like what you know, what you said earlier about like when you started developing, that really kind of made you love it. I think for me, that happened. And then when I started printing, then I really like, it was like I discovered a whole different world. So what's been your experience with darkroom? Have you done any darkroom stuff at all?
I have not, but I admire a few photographers who do the work themselves. And it seems really cool. Like they'll explain it to me and, you know, give me little details. They're almost pushing me to start, but I don't have the space right now. But
you're gonna get hooked
soon. I know. I think once then it's just going to be like, I'm locked in the house. Don't talk to me.
I mean, that's how I got through quarantine the first couple of times, you know. I was like, I'll have to stay home and not talk to anybody and just like do stuff inside. Okay.
Right. I mean, I'll go out on my walk, take some pics, come back in and get to work.
You know the vibe. You know the vibe. That was it. That's all I did for like 5 months.
Exactly.
But you know what I find even more interesting is in the dark room, you know, printing anything is awesome because it really makes you appreciate it. But then for someone like you, for example, who does a lot of portraits, seeing your portraits come to life in the dark room, I just think is just one of the most incredible things. Like it is amazing.
Seems great.
I didn't print any portraits for a while. So I started darkroom printing, let's say like April or so last year, like right in the heat of like the worst of the pandemic. Well, theoretical worst. Anyways.
I get you.
I started really printing there and I outfitted my crib. I got stuff in my bathroom. You know, I had everything I needed, but I didn't print any portraits for like 5 months. And I don't know why. Actually, I do know why. My enlarger at the time was only 35 millimeter. And most of the portraits I was doing was on medium format. So I couldn't. Once I did upgrade my enlarger and then I was like, okay, now I can print medium format. I was like, let me print a portrait, see what happens. And it was like a 6x4.5 negative was the first one that I did. And it was a close up too, like, you know, nice and like kind of chin or like neck to like top of the head.
Nice. And
the first time I took, because with color printing, you can't reveal the paper to the light at all. Like everything happens in the tube or in the processor. The point is, the first time I pulled out that sheet of like a printed photo of a portrait, I was just like in awe because seeing a big face darkroom printed, it's amazing. Oh, I'm excited. True. I'm excited on your behalf for when you first do this because it really is going to change things.
Excited. Yeah, no, it seems really cool. I'd love to have a big poster of a few of my photos.
Yeah.
Up on my wall. Yeah. That seems amazing.
Yeah. I'm one of those people, I guess. I'm pushing you and saying you should do it because you're
going
to love it.
Everybody's doing it. I love it. I'm like, next step. We'll just keep going. I'll open up a shop eventually.
So I want to touch a bit more on kind of the younger generation of film photography. Do you see any specific trends or anything that is different from, you know, that younger crowd to people like my age or maybe older?
Style for sure. Just the way that younger people shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I don't know if you know. The account Black with Film.
Yeah, for sure.
I run that account.
Ah, okay. I had no idea.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess, yeah, in a way I've been able to study. It's like the younger people just have this different style going on. And it's like their creative brains are just wired differently. And then older people are more traditional with their photos.
Yeah.
As far as like portraiture and cleaner lines and, you know, yeah, it's, I don't want to say fine art to like craziness, but in truth, like that would be the scale in my brain.
Yeah.
But they're all amazing. Yeah. It's so weird to see how creative they are with the film. It's like they do triple exposures, you know, four or five, you know, they figure it out, they make it work. Yeah. But it's still beautiful. And as abstract as it is, it's like, it's, I mean, I would say just as artistic as the old fancy portraits.
Nice. Are there, is there, so we can kind of move away from the age thing. I feel like I've run that into the ground, but as a curator, because you are curating stuff on behalf of, you know, what you see on the internet, how, is there anything you've learned? Is there kind of anything that's really stuck out to you about, you know, the work you're seeing?
It's amazing, honestly, to see everybody's work. Like the talent that I've been missed out on, that's really why I started the account. It's like, I just felt like I hadn't been seeing enough of myself represented in the film culture. And
of course,
it just felt weird. And honestly, I had given it some time until I was hoping maybe somebody else would do it, but they didn't. And all of a sudden I had started it.
Yeah.
And it just kept going. And like I said, there's a huge group now of younger people and older people who really appreciate the craft of film. And so it came together so quickly. And everybody just wanted to share their beautiful art with a like-minded group.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going on. What was the question?
No, I was asking like, what have you learned by curating? But what you just
said. Oh, okay. I was like, wow, I'm just talking. It's really amazing to put it all together. I'm really inspired by everybody. There's like a 15-year-old photographer on the page, you know, who's killing the game already. And there's 60-year-olds. And I don't think it really matters about the age, but I think it's just really cool to see everybody's art come together and create a beautiful piece of like a feed. And I don't know, I've always been a visual person. So putting it together isn't a problem. I actually enjoy doing it. Of course, I mean, obviously. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. But it's great. Lots of fun, and it's really exciting to talk to everybody, get to know them. It's like, even when I just see a photo, it's like, oh, I know that's this person's photo. Oh, I know that's that person's photo, just based off of the style. And it's pretty cool to just learn people visually through their artwork, which is crazy. Yeah.
Of course. One thing you just said really resonated with me there, and it was about representation.
Yeah.
You kind of said how you were almost waiting for someone else to do this. And then you were like, you know what? I'll just do it myself.
Right.
I think there's such a strong message in there because, you know, representation kind of has two sides the way I see it. One is like the way opportunities and like work is kind of like sourced. So if you own a brand or if you own a magazine or whatever, if you have the power to hire people, you know, you have a responsibility, at least in my point of view.
Right.
Like if you're going to say you care about this stuff, then that's how you show it. You know, you hire people based on those ideas. But on the other side of that, for people like you and I who are creators, you know, we have so many tools available to not only like put our own stuff out there, but then to also like create community where you almost don't need to rely on anybody to quote unquote give you the opportunity, you know?
Right. So, not now. You know, the tools are in front of us. Yeah. If
someone like you said you cared about, you know, Black people creating this work and you saw so much talent and it inspired you, like, you know, you can take that and run with it. You don't need anybody to like empower you to do that. We have so many tools now. And I think I'm resonating with that because that's one of the reasons I started this podcast was there's so many people that are outside of the typical profile doing so much great stuff. And I was like, why aren't we talking to these people? And I see these people's work all the time. And I'm just like, I want to talk to them.
Right.
I'll hit them up myself and, you know,
that's amazing.
DMs and get the podcast going.
Yeah. And
it's really empowering because not only am I actively like creating the representation, at least in one, you know, in this little small slice, but then you're also the owner of it. Like now you have this quote unquote power. And I mean that in like, like, you know, the selfish way, but like you're in charge of you're in charge of the message, let's say.
Yes. No, I love curating. I love putting it together. I'm such a organized person. Like those kinds of things really just make me happy at the end of the day. So putting it together and having it go well is, it's motivating. So I don't think I've missed a day except for Christmas this entire time since I started.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it a lot and I hope it keeps going. And I hope, I mean, most of the followers honestly aren't just the Black film photographers. There are other, you know, white viewers and other people of color who are there. And I, you know, try and share, you know, a little bit of everybody
on
the color spectrum, you know, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
because we all need to be seen in some way. So yeah, I think I see this going bigger and showing more people and finding new projects for it. So I'm excited to keep it going.
Hell yeah.
Everybody's so excited too. Yeah.
I'm curious, you say finding new projects. What kind of ideas or ambitions do you have?
Honestly, I think like the talent that we have is so crazy. Like the fact that we're not getting more recognition, it hurts, but I'm glad that at least we're seeing each other now and we're appreciating each other. It's like that person will get a couple dozen followers in a day, you know, just from being seen. It's like, we've been thirsty for, I don't want to say like partnership in a way, like almost just knowing that other people like us are out there and being inspired by other people like us. It's really, really good for everybody. So definitely possibly a magazine, because we're great. And I would love to see that in book form. And I'd love for everybody to be able to flip through that on their coffee table or on their ride home and just be inspired by other Black film photographers. I think that would be one great way. We started photo walks.
Hell yeah.
Group photo walks. Hopefully once the pandemic chills out a little bit more, we'll get those going.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually hoping to get some more hosts in different states to run it while I'm not there, you know? So yeah, there's a few projects going, but right now just trying to build the crowd.
Yeah. No, you're killing them with the crowd. You just have to, the ideas you just put out there, those are great ideas. I'm very excited to see how those come to
fruition. I think it'll be great. Yeah. Just simple things, but I think it would be amazing for us to have that
for
as a
group.
Sure.
I you already got one pre-order for whatever you create. Count me in.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. I'm really excited about that. My last question for you, honestly, this is a good segue, is I was going to ask you, what are your plans for this year? You know, we've got a wide open year. So from a personal perspective and also, you know, like you just mentioned with your curation, like what kinds of things are you looking to get into?
Me personally, I think curation is something that I've always loved on a bigger scale, you know, museum work and finding the artists and just putting together a story with other people's work has always been really inspiring to me. So possibly taking that to an event space once we can get out of the house. I think that would be more for me personally to do that. That would be one thing to get into, but focus more on my portraiture, just creating things that I love. I have a lot of personal projects that I've been saving for couple years now, which I'm sad to say, it's like, why haven't I started? So I'm finally starting on a few things that I'm really excited about, that are kind of in a different direction than most of my stuff now. So it'll be interesting to see how people feel about it. But at the end of the day, it's for me.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's that's the moral of the story. No matter what you're doing, as long as you feel the intentions of it, like, you know, that's it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's how I've been doing it so far. And honestly, since I've let go of those feelings, it's been doing better than it ever has been. So
nice.
I'm like, everybody relax. It'll work out.
There you go. Well, I'm very happy we had this chat. I learned some things that I didn't know ahead of time. So thank you. Really appreciate your insight. Great energy.
Of course.
I'm sure everyone listening is going to be very excited to check out your work and also see what you come up with going forward. So thanks a lot for joining. This was great.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I love what you're doing. I mean, like you said, it's very similar as to what I'm doing. It's just bringing a community together. So really excited about this.
Hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did making it. It's actually very interesting. I was very surprised to hear that Nadia was the actual curator for Black with Film. I honestly had no idea. It was a complete surprise, and we didn't think about that ahead of time
Usually I like to brief the guests, you know, have a bit of a conversation to ensure we're on the same page. But this time we didn't come across that topic, and I'm glad that it genuinely came out in our conversation, because I really think that, you know, it's an important thing, and the work she's doing there is great. And I'm very, very excited to see where that goes. Hopefully, you know, some events, some goods, some products, that kind of stuff, because it's a great message. And I think it's a great source of inspiration for so many of us as well. So the more we can see that, I think the better for everybody. All right, y'all, that's what we got for today. Until the next episode, I'm out.